Here we are, Tuesday, October 27th, 2020, meeting in the Board of Commissioners conference room because we got pushed out of room 157, but we were able to maintain social distancing here at 11 a.m. for our city and county monthly update. Everybody's present,
yep.
Mayor, city manager, council president.
Before we get started,
sure.
I'd like to make a comment.
Well, please.
I'm grateful for these meetings for various reasons, but it gives us an opportunity to meet with you guys and deal with issues common to both of us and look forward to possible solutions of other things coming down the road. It's hopefully these solutions will benefit both the county and the city and all the people in the community. So it's really important that we focus on getting things done and also realize that we are doing a very important aspect of our work on both sides. So I just had to say that how grateful I am that we have these.
Well, I agree, because it also prevents some blind spots for some of us, because you guys may be into a strong effort and we may not even have heard about it yet.
Yes.
And vice versa. And yeah. So we appreciate that for this reason as well.
If I'm going to read about myself in the paper, I would appreciate knowing that it's something that had to do with what I did.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Or said.
And hopefully they may have gotten it.
What
right.
are you going to do about the next moon landing, Commissioner DeYoung?
I don't know.
That's not bad. Anywho, bring you back to the room. We got a pretty decent agenda. We got some stuff added in. Item one is plans for transient issues in the city of Grants Pass. Commissioner DeYoung.
I brought this up because it seems like most of the homelessness and transients, they always go to the hubs. Grants Pass, city of Grants Pass being the hub. Daily I walk people coming off of Interstate 5 with all their stuff, and we have nowhere to go. So where do they go? Have we considered finding a place for them to be, to where you can stop and say, where are you headed? Well, I'm going to have to find some place to stay tonight. And with no, I see them at the little park up on the corner of Washington and Midland, and they'll be
Oval Park.
Yeah.
And there's no bathrooms there. There was a water fountain, but I think it's decommissioned. But they'll pile in there. And I don't know where they sleep. They sleep in the brush, they sleep in the gazebo or whatever, but I know they're not using sanitary facilities anywhere. But I don't know whether we have any plans or anything at all for looking into a place that, for instance, Department of Human Services, instead of saying everybody's got to migrate all through town to get up to DHS to get their phone and their bicycle and all the other stuff that they get, whatever that is available for them, maybe that's a place where DHS, a common place where DHS could go to them and provide the services to them rather than having them all over. I don't know if anybody took the bait and called Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, how they dealt with their transient issues, but they have a pretty comprehensive plan, and they just don't have them in the Central Business District. They don't have them wandering the neighborhoods at night looking for cans, and they all have an excuse why they're in your neighborhood, but most of the time they're just looking for anything that isn't bolted down, I think. Or just maybe even a hedge to sleep in, I don't know. But I know out by where I'm at, and I think in the next deal in the warming shelter probably, but there's a little hedge, there's three or four bushes right there on Agnes, and you wouldn't believe the pile of shopping carts, bicycles, chairs, tents, sleeping bags and everything that they've got piled between the sidewalk and that fence. Well, that, every once in a while it's cleaned up and they're gone. However, they're right back there again, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and then they get cleaned up and gone, and it back and forth. So I didn't know whether there was any plans to say, you know what, we're going to pick a spot just outside the urban growth boundary, and maybe the county, this is why I'm saying the county may have a role in it, and provide, maybe restroom facilities and a shower thing, just a block building thing and a cordoned off place, and that's where you go to get your services and kind of consolidate everything in one place. I know that, you know, when you have the slap on the wrist from the ACLU, I don't know whether you read into it or I read into it. They said you can't keep them out of your city park. And I think that if you flip the page, unless you have provided them a place to go. You know, there's an awful lot of mitigation on just about everything. And they say you can't keep them out of your public park because you really have not provided a place for them to be taken care of, the very basics. And maybe that's something you all ought to consider. And together, I think, you know, if it may be something just outside or whatever, maybe it's something we need to start looking at. Because we've been beating this ourselves up on this for how many years?
Yeah.
You know, when we had the Gospel Rescue Mission on one end and St. Vincent de Paul on the other, the city council that we sat on said, okay, we're going to move that to a mobile food cart, and it goes around the various places. I think that's been relatively successful.
Yes, it has.
To keeping people from walking back and forth through the Central Business District. When I talked to a guy in Coeur d'Alene, he says, describe what your city looks like, is shaped up like. And I explained it to him, and he started snickering. And I says, what? He says, you've created a footpath right through your Central Business District, and along the way, they find a doorway to sleep in.
A path was created.
You've dictated where they should be. So I think maybe we may want to look at in the future that, you know, maybe it's high time we, you know, I don't want to encourage it, but, you know, there's a lot of those folks that just can't help where they are. They don't want to be any different. You know, we say, oh, we're going to build houses for them, or we're going to build tiny homes, or we're going to do this, we're going to do that. That, and you bring it up every time. There's a difference between homeless and homeless.
And transient. Right?
And transient. So yeah. If we can do the homeless side with maybe the tiny homes and altering some regulations and so on and so forth, but then there's going to be this group here. And a lot of them I know are veterans, and they're, you know, maybe that's, I hear, I'm a disabled veteran. To say, you are, they get in the truck, we're going to White City, because they do have facilities for veterans.
Yes.
And resources for veterans. I don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it's just down to, we've got this group of individuals, what do we do with them? And if we continue to look elsewhere, I don't think, nobody else is going to solve this for us.
Yeah.
And I think this is where...
Well, this could be a joint effort.
I'm not saying it's going to be a joint effort.
Absolutely.
It has an opportunity to be that way.
But let me round out the county side that, you know, Grants Pass has grown up to a certain point. And our concept before was, hey, if you don't provide the services, they won't come. And that actually worked pretty well, I think, for 10 years.
Worked in Canada.
But society and the courts have now kind of moved us a little to say, well, we got to think about doing something. And so wondering what that looks like, whether it's a patch of dirt with porta toilets and you can put up a tent or bring your car here and park like they do in Eugene, or if we're going to try and leave it to the private sector, or we're going to set aside some other spot, whether that's a park or a county property or something. But it's come time this next year or two, we're going to have to deal with it. And so I think Dan's expressing the problem and the willingness of us to be partners in that. Because it's certainly not just a Grants Pass problem, as we know. So I thought I'd round that out of hair. Let's finish rounding out the commissioner's side.
Well, I'm just looking at the agenda, and the next two items that I brought up are somewhat related. Mm-hmm. Wondering if we want to tie them in together.
Sure, we can.
Yeah.
Because I think, we haven't given you a chance to respond to quite a lot of opinion. So I want to make sure to do that. But this week...
I appreciate you recognizing that, Lily.
Because quite frankly, I think you guys have had a lot of conversations about it. You have had a lot of concerns. You're still in the middle of stuff, so we got to recognize that you're still in the middle of court cases. There's only so much you can say. I have had citizens reach out to me. I don't know why. You try to encourage them to reach out to city councilors, but when they know you used to be one and you're still involved and elected, you get called from stuff regardless of where it's at. So the one I heard this week was the encampment right along the condos at Riverside Park. and that the folks that are living there, the citizen that called me said, they look intentional to be there. They're in designer clothes. They have high-end kennels for their animals. And it's not poor homeless. It's like a intentional encampment. And I said, I don't know what to say to that. You know, it's one of those things that, okay, thank you. You know, but I know that I've also been contacted by City of Cape Junction folks asking about if there's a warming center in Grants Pass for this winter, especially with us having 20 degree weather this week. And I knew the DMV, old DMV was a location, but I hadn't heard what happened as far as it continuing.
It's not.
It's not.
Okay.
Because it was too expensive.
Yes.
Got it.
It's $57 or $67 a night per person.
Well,
what?
Yes.
How?
That's what the figure I saw was.
Is that just utilities?
That's volunteers.
But no, St. Vincent's and different
rent,
places
utilities,
were providing
and supplies.
The food.
Yeah.
So different volunteer organizations were providing the food.
Right.
So the expense was
that
just
was
utilities?
That was the figure that I saw from UCAN.
I had a concern about it. I had a concern about it down there because it was closed during the day for cleaning and restaffing or whatever it is. And while they did that, everybody moved right out onto the curb on F Street.
Yeah, I know.
And so that,
that
so what
was
did
a
you
major
do?
Concern for
what
us
did,
as well.
What did you do? You basically brought it out to the curb again, and they set their tents up, and they're out there, you know, get a little cook stove. I'm expecting a fire pit out there at any time.
Well, so the subject's been breached. You're in. What do you guys have? Roy got in.
The city's really good at providing clean water and sanitation and roads and curb and gutter and having a planning department that helps people develop their land. The city's not in the business of warming shelters.
Well, I agree.
It's just not.
I agree, but I'm not saying, I can talk all day, but you can stick your head in the dirt and just think it's gonna go away, and it's not. And I'm thinking, I'm thinking, you know, when you got ACLU said you cannot keep them out of your park, so you're stuck with that, wherever that falls.
Well, we've worked out a solution.
Wherever it falls.
Yeah, we've worked out a solution.
You're stuck with that. So do you say, well, I guess that's the way it is, we'll just move on? Or do you say, let's see what other people did other places? And I think Commissioner Fowler mentioned Eugene because they have a camp, I think, or whatever they call it. I'm unaware. I've heard of it a couple times.
Yeah.
I've never been there. And Coeur d'Alene's another example. So if you find a place where it works and it does what it's intended to do, because Coeur d'Alene seemed to do that, get them out of the central business district. Like I said, I've said it more than once. Pam and I drove last year from Oklahoma City through Little Rock, Arkansas, Nashville, Tennessee, went all the way to Charlotte, North Carolina. I saw one homeless person sleeping on a bench.
What's your proposal?
Shopping carts go back to be used for shopping. I would like to see us, you know, work together, see if there's some place that we can say, all right, we're going to dedicate that as a this is the homeless camp.
So that did get brought up from our attorneys in the lawsuit. Council asked, what about if we designated an area for them to go? And they said, absolutely not.
Hmm. Who they, ACL said no?
Our attorneys.
ACLU
so,
said no?
Our attorneys said, you cannot
that won't
do that.
Satisfy.
That won't satisfy it.
All right.
I'm not a legal scholar, but I'm just saying the question was asked.
Yes.
Because it seemed like that would be a solution. And they said, no, that's won't work.
For now.
Yeah.
Right.
But if you did have a place, maybe they wouldn't go to your park in the first place. They have nowhere else to go. Maybe they would go to a provided place and not go to your park.
I don't know. The hard thing is that even when you provide a space, people still have free will. And not everybody, any place that is provided by a community is going to have rules. And when there are rules, people don't necessarily want to subject to that. The mission has space, but it's faith-based. People don't want to subject themselves to the faith-based side or the no smoking or the other things. So you can create a shelter and say, okay, you can allow your animal. You can allow smoking. Okay, but that's against state law to allow smoking inside, so where do you smoke? I mean, there's so many things to it. I saw that with Medford when they asked folks to leave, They also brought Rogue Retreat in and said, we'll offer you a place, come with us. And about half of them said thank you, and about half of them said no thank you.
Yeah.
And so there's always that level of the free will of folks wanting services or not. Friday, the e-board at the state legislature met and discussed the turnkey project, which the ask was for $65 million to purchase 1,000 motel rooms across the state, focusing on fire-affected communities. Jackson County is included in that. What was approved was $30 million initial start, is what I've heard. I haven't seen an official report. Potentially Josephine County could be a part of that, as that we are also affected by the fire as far as people coming this way. And UCAN and Rogue Retreat are in communication about it. They're very familiar with the project and the proposal. And I let them know of one motel I know of for sale in Josephine County.
Is that the turnkey project you're talking about?
Correct.
Now? Okay.
They haven't said yet what their process of applications are, but the idea was that it would be initial fire relief shelter, but also potentially homeless down the way, that you would then keep those in partnership with a nonprofit. I'm not saying anything other than support or anything other than it was approved, and we may be a community that
at the half the amount.
At the half amount, it was approved. And now, California did $565 million.
They're a little bigger than us, yeah.
Correct. Oregon was asked for $65 million. $30 million was initially approved.
Well, and let me say, it was just the legislature. The governor is actually keeping an arm's distance from this and saying, that's what I heard out of...
Crest Motel, Flamingo Inn, Hawks Inn, Bunny Motel.
Anything with a kitchen. Would be
no,
available.
They don't even require that. That's,
yeah, but they sure as hell
I've
should.
Lived amongst all that for my since I was 12.
As a PO, I would go door to door at the Hawks Inn, and I understand. I'm just saying that it is something that's out there, and that UCAN is involved and was reaching out to Rogue Retreat to see if a proposal for Josephine County would be submitted. And so I wanted to let you guys know.
Yeah.
Who takes care of this thing? So we buy a motel and we're going to, okay, we're going to do this for fire, and then we're going to do it for homeless, and then we have a fire and the homeless say, I'm not going anywhere, this is mine, you go find another one. And who takes care of the roof? Who changes the sheets? Who paints it? Who fixes the busted doors down? Who cleans up the garbage? Who pays a hotel full of people is going to create a whole bunch of refuse. Garbage and everything. I don't even know why we're going down that path.
I just wanted you
personally.
To be aware that it was a program approved.
Approved by who? The legislature?
The legislature yesterday.
The e-board on Friday.
Yeah, which is
e-board?
From the legislature.
Correct. The
emergency.
Legislative Emergency Board was asked to approve it. It's not a place that they should be dictating from. It just happens to... I'm not saying that the process was right. I'm not saying that I think it's efficient. It
just happened.
I am just passing along... that the program was approved.
You're the messenger.
I am the messenger.
And no public input.
And on top of that, there is a motel for sale in Josephine County.
Which one?
Holiday Motel.
Where's that?
Just before Cave Junction,
okay.
On the right.
Oh, that one.
Oh, that one, yeah. That's Jim Frick's family.
Okay.
It's closed currently, is that correct?
No, it's open.
Oh, it's open.
Okay. It's open and it's always full. But... I just wanted to make sure the information was there in case there is a proposal from Josephine County. There's a lot of questions not answered. There's a lot of things that would have to be in place, and that's why the partners would have to put a proposal together. But I wanted you guys to be aware that is out there.
Thank you.
And we are a fire-affected county, so we will be considered. Don't know how it'll end up. I happen to be on a call with Leah Horner from the governor's office with the regional commissioners on this subject, and I declared it the worst idea government ever had. And one of the other commissioners joked, come on, this couldn't be the worst idea government ever had. But I gave immediate pushback saying, man, come on, this is not how you solve problems. They even talk about immediately giving it over to a nonprofit, but that doesn't mean you fix the problem, because government's still going to have to come back and fix the roof.
or something.
Yeah.
There are going to be grants applied for and all that stuff.
And I would say, okay, set up a fund so that if we do have like a fire, and you could say, I'm going to take the Holiday Inn or whatever it is, call a Holiday Hotel, and you say, yeah, we're going to lease that from you for 60 days. We'll just lease it from you for 60 days and put the people in there as a stopgap, an emergency to finding permanent shelter for their home, for their family. I've just got this roof over your head and a bed to sleep in, and we're only going to do this 60 days, then you're out. Then we'll go back to being a hotel again. After the government fixes the windows and the doors and the beds and the toilets.
Everything got broken during the time.
There's such a synergy.
Okay, turnkey, warming shelter, transient issues.
We're still on this subject.
Yep.
I wonder if anybody has heard. I have not. Several weeks ago, when I was on a conference call with the governor, and she was actually in the conference call, which was amazing, I asked the question about FEMA's emergency trailers to house people. I saw that in the Oakland fire, and they brought in a lot of temporary trailers to house people that had been burned out. And I said, are we going to get any? And she said, she's negotiating to bring in as many as possible. The last I heard was that 300 were coming to this area, and I have not heard anything more than that. Have you heard anything at all?
No.
Well, and a lot of it's too little too late.
I agree.
Because it's been this many days, and people have found a way to find shelter.
Yeah.
Whether it's in an RV, with friends, with a nonprofit, somehow. And some of them have just moved and had the ability to purchase another house or something, or rent something.
I think a good
and
litmus
so
test
government
for that.
Is always so slow to try and fix these things.
I agree.
A good litmus test would be find out from the expo how many people are still housed at the expo that were evacuees. Or they do they still have a huge camp there? We don't have anybody out here. I don't think at Gilsland County Fairgrounds, if it is, it's one or two. And they're
We're not sheltering anymore.
So let's find out what the problem is.
I honestly don't know that it's going to be us that finds out. It's not our county. It's a Jackson County issue. It would go through them. FEMA is not fully... We did not receive a full FEMA award because we have not met the capacity for the FEMA damage. We did meet the capacity in that our firefighting efforts would be reimbursed. We did not for housing assistance, the individual FEMA assistance. That's Jackson County. So I can tell you they've been out there. I've driven out there. I've seen the little stops along the way where people can come up to a U-Haul and sign up. My aunt who lost her home already has been approved for an amount. I don't think we're going to hear because it's not us and we didn't qualify. So what would be the question is how many people in our market is affected by the fact that their housing is now gone? How is it flooding our market with people trying to figure out where to live if they're not able to rebuild on their property? There's a lot of questions that are going to continue to be. I don't know the right venue for saying let's bring Josephine County and Jackson County together as communities and say how are we talking about this holistically as a region? Is it Soretti? Is it RBCOG? Is it something like that? But right now they're kind of dealing with it and we're partially affected but not wholly yet. And we're not at the table. The one thing that came up was the Builders Association was talking about doing a forum to try to see how we can get materials, labor, regulations reduced for the sake of getting houses rebuilt, extensions for the time frames of rebuilding on the same property. And I tried to make sure to include names to them that they should invite to the table to be a part of that conversation. I gave Commissioner Fowler's name.
I have talked to him, yeah.
And so they were going to do a forum, not sure there.
I'm wondering whether insurance payments will pay for a new house because the price of lumber has tripled since the fire.
And a lot of stuff was in a flood zone.
So I should tell you on this topic, I've been a part of a group that has been trying to work with the, who's the Seventh-day Adventist group?
Seventh-day Adventist group.
Oh, the homeless shower shelter?
Correct.
Right, right. I'm not sure of the group name, but yeah.
I can't recall what their program was up there that passed out clothes and had the showers and stuff like that. Dorcas, thank you. So the showers had been fallen into ill repair, and we had reached out and said, is this a matter of money to fix them? Are you not wanting to provide the service anymore? There's a group of us that have been steadily asking, how do we come alongside? We will pay for it. We will provide contractors. What can we do to work with you to get those showers open again? And it's kind of just stalled on the end of not getting responses anymore. So the last thing I heard from UCAN is they were looking at trying to come up with the funding to provide portable showers in a trailer. And so that is a possibility. I'm not sure who would house it or be responsible for it. Same thing as is zoning issues of where would you put them and yeah, the utilities for it. But that is kind of where that update is as well.
Very good. Anybody else on the first three? Transient warm and turnkey. All right, then let's go to item four, downtown public restroom. Commissioner DeYoung.
Yeah, I'm getting some pushback. I think we all three commissioners are getting pushback because we're going to put in a transit hub over here that's been in the works for well over 3 years.
More than that, I think.
And all of a sudden, everybody said, I didn't get to talk about it. That's the worst place in the world for a transit hub. Why don't you move it to 6th and A Street? Why don't you move by B of A? Why don't you move it out by Walmart? Every other thing in the world, but why not right there on county property that we already own? So I talked to this, probably, I think, the keynote speaker for that group. And I said, it's your responsibility as the county when you put in a transit hub to put in public restroom facilities.
I can tell you there's not a single transit hub anywhere that has restroom facilities.
And I said,
it's not part of public transit.
It's not. And so let's go back a little bit. Where was the old public restroom before I asked this person? And he said, well, it used to be downtown in the city's thing on 6th and G.
At the visitor
center. And I said, why did they close the restrooms at the visitor center? Well, because they got destroyed. They couldn't keep up with the maintenance on it. Oh, is that why? So then the county now needs to step up and put in a public restroom in our transit facility to service the people of downtown Grants Pass through the county's deal. I said, I kind of would like to say no, but I'll just say heck no. But then again, I got to think about it, and I thought, you know what? And this person started to go down the talking legal, and I said, the minute you say one word to me, I'm done. Then it's in the hands of the lawyers, and you'll never hear from me again, and you're blues on this one, I guarantee it. So just don't say it, don't threaten it, be done with it. But I talked to Scott Chancey, our transit director, and also Rob Brandis. And I thought to myself, let's entertain the idea of not in the 2,200 square foot driver's facility. Let's go off in the parking lot and put in a men's and women's handicap block building restroom, one men's, one women's, that's it. The door's locked after a certain amount of hours and it's only operating during certain hours, and go on from there, because if there's somebody waiting for the bus, might be a good idea to, you know, instead of going over and bothering the restaurant or something else, they could use the restroom right on site for the patrons of the transit system. That we would probably, and we're kicking that around, because I said, scope that to tell me what that is. If that's a $120,000 restroom, no.
Yeah, go there, and then I want to jump in.
Jump.
So we're having open discussions at the council level about restrooms downtown. While it's not required that it's there, that seems like that could be a good location for one. That could.
But I'm talking one man to a
group. Right, no, I get it. And so since it's something we're working on, it's something you're considering, maybe it's something we can both agree that that might be a good place for one, and we can get together and share that.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, when they say, well, you don't have public restrooms downtown, we can check the box and say, yes, we do.
I encourage you to talk to some employees who have worked in that visitor center about what they have come across.
It's horrible. I don't think we need to talk to
some employees.
I want to be very clear. I've lived in Seattle. I've worked in downtown Seattle. I would go to a park and ride in Shoreline, ride the hour downtown into the bus terminal and come out. And they have free transit downtown, so you can ride all over. I've fully experienced that. I've done the Met in Portland. I've done different stuff. Eugene, they have their big transit hub by the Gateway Mall. There are no restrooms. It's because they are temporary transit. We don't have restrooms out here at Ambassador. We're simply moving that hub from there to there. This is not a transit that's like a Greyhound where you got somebody that's going to be traveling a long distance and different stuff. This is for people coming into commute and people going back out. We are not in the business of changing how bus systems are everywhere.
And right now.
And I don't think you have the capacity or want the capacity to handle more restrooms. There's a Blue House down there right now that gets cleaned and sanitized and sprayed down. You can't inside the other ones. And if you talk to some employees, which I've had some reach out to me about those restrooms, I've worked at a sewer plant, and that's more gross.
We're thinking like a Portland loo design, right?
I'm not talking about sheetrock and pictures on the wall. I'm talking about a Forest Service roadside restroom. They have them all over up in Lake of the Woods and whatnot, and it's a block walls, painted, cement floor, toilet, sink,
steel
and you're done.
Toilets and steel
and
sinks.
And that's it. And it and it's basic, very, very basic in design. But I'm also saying that if I rode the bus in from out in Cave Junction, and I always hate to use generalities, but I come into town, and right now, where do they go? When they park out here, you see them every day. You can step right there in that hub right here, and every one of them comes from that bus stop and goes right into this bathroom, and they're using the courthouse bathroom. They're not using either that or they're in the old days when we had all the bushes out there and the benches, they used the shrubs. Right outside my window, by the way, and that was never supposed to have been being fixed.
Well,
but I think I don't mind that it's at that hub because we do have some long distance travelers that come in from Medford to the hub, and if you've ridden on a bus for an hour and a half from Medford, you may need to use the facility.
Yep.
I say just a plain and simple men's room and women's room, and that's it. And it's just we'll scope it, see what it is. It comes out at $2.4 million. Because the government's going to do it, it isn't worth it. It's just an idea. And it also may keep us, I asked that person, if we did that and possibility of parking places and we took six of our public, our private parking lot places and made them available as public parking places, would you go away? And he said yes. So I'm trying to get away from any kind of public outcry, satisfy a little bit of something, bend a little bit, and stay the hell off the front page of the paper.
good luck with that.
Well, it won't be for this, but it'll be for something else.
I'm with Commissioner Morgan. I don't think they should go there. We've already scoped the project. Funding's already in place. We'd go back another year if we want to add bathrooms. And I think we're a year behind.
Because we are also going from the number
that
they gave us.
Is that even considered downtown?
Into a larger number.
I don't get why all of a sudden they're saying we're not providing downtown. It's not even downtown. Downtown starts at like F Street. Unless I'm wrong, is it E Street?
Is that central business?
This Fifth Street right here is not central business.
Not central business.
No, and I'm looking at it to serve our
patrons. So this is why I was concerned why the parking task force was even talking about it when it's not in the central business district.
Yeah.
Because our committees like to talk about everything.
Yeah.
And
our citizens love to talk about
everything. You know, the whole
point
is that we're trying to provide a place that we're having. So here's just for your benefit. I've been asked about alternate locations downtown, including Bank of America. The idea is that, well, and I'll tell you, we've had a crash out here recently because of the bump out that ODOT did, and the bus is not having a place to pull over. They stop in the middle of the lane of traffic.
Crazy.
And
we warned them.
I'm shocked by what's going on down there, but the whole idea is it has to get off of the one-way streets. The pulling in and the pulling out takes time to do that, so the idea is to get it off a block, off of the main one-way, so it's not blocking in and out, but it still has that quick access of the turnaround. Right turn, right turn, right turn, so you're right back going.
It's a good idea.
And it needs to be near
idea.
The, you know, access to courts, access to the other stuff was the idea, is that people getting here because of court access was one of those things of why it's so near. But
juvenile and adult.
Yeah.
Yep. And City Hall.
So, I mean, if there's another place that is more appropriate, but we already own this property. And so, I mean, if you guys want to revisit, let us know. I know it's going through the process, but quite frankly, bus stops don't have bathrooms.
But if you put the bathroom in, it goes away, and you won't have to look anywhere else and bet any more money on it.
I disagree.
Well, that, you could disagree.
Well, that's not enough to service downtown, because people shopping at 6th and G are not going to walk up to
it. It is checking the box with, do you have a public restroom at that facility? Yes, we do. I don't want it inside the terminal.
Even though nobody else in the world has one.
I don't want it inside the terminal. I want it standalone.
Why would we do that when it's not a transit function, and it isn't in any big city anywhere?
Because it helps people that ride the transit.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, good.
Really robust discussion.
I've got the bathroom.
We're losing time.
Sorry.
If I could get us to move on, because we probably won't resolve that one today.
No, we won't.
Okay.
I'm
Let's keep talking
man.
Then and listen to the overall wisdom that comes out of those discussions. Item 5 is mine. Public safety and sheriff's office directional signs on A and 6th and 7th. It's kind of a housekeeping thing. Could you guys write a letter to ODOT? Because if you're coming up 7th, there's a big green sign that says sheriff, police, and city hall. Mm. Go left. That's not the truth anymore.
Right.
In fact, the sheriff has been gone for
3 or 4 years.
We're actually working on our directional signs.
Right, that, those are ODOT
that's
signs,
state,
of course.
Yeah. So.
Right, but then on 6th Street, same thing. It says sheriff, city hall, and police, and
yeah.
Again, it's wrong.
Right.
And so it wouldn't take much,
right.
But you know how ODOT is.
Yeah.
It's like approaching Congress or something, but if we could get a letter out to them and say, hey, could you help us out?
Sure.
Change some signs over. See, I made an easy one. You guys ought to pick easy ones.
Can I add one to it to mess it up?
Sure, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, just when I'm here. I'm here as the facilitator to mess things up. When you come off the 7th Street, your gate is really, really slow. So when two squad cars pull in there, they're still hanging out in 7th Street in the left-hand lane, and people just get furious.
Just like the buses.
That gate should have been brought farther into the property.
So they could pull off the street.
So that
yeah.
You could queue like 3 or 4 cars before the gate, rather than one and one block on the sidewalk, the next one, you're stopping that whole left-hand lane. And that's...
Right.
That's
something to look
I've
into.
I've seen that.
So much for my
sitting
easy
sitting across the street having a sandwich, and I went, bad design. That gate should come way back in, maybe... Two more cars.
Yeah, like those horse trailer gates you see on farms.
Exactly.
Where you can get out of the road, open
so
your
you
gate.
So you can get off the road.
Yeah. So. But at least look into it.
That's something
yeah.
You don't know until
yeah.
You
yeah. By the way, it's an awesome facility. We got to utilize it for some of the emergency operations
oh, yeah.
For that first week.
Yes.
It has turned out really good, like yeah. We hoped, that set us up for success over the next 50, 80 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And the thing is, this
yeah.
when the emergency started, it took a little over 2 hours to set it up and have it
fully
functioning.
Isn't that something? That's pretty fast.
That's darn fast.
Yep. Because we're going to have more emergencies over the next 5 years. And so it was really nice to have you guys help. Our county in that, since you are a big part of our county.
Okay, 3-6.
Yep, I was waiting to see if Commissioner Young or Morgan had anything to say, but she's not talking to me right now. So,
I'm good. I think we've killed it.
Yep, item 6 is tourism services. That is me, just kind of asking the question. I heard you discussed it yesterday. Have you decided on direction, timelines, or anything for tourism services? And we want to come alongside and be a part of that effort in some way, shape, or form.
Are we why missing something over here?
Why is 6th Street closed
there's
down?
There's a suspicious package under the old car.
What's that?
What's?
It's taped off.
In front of right past Ambassador.
Why is police taping things off and not notifying us? That's twice now that our building has been impacted, that they're not notifying us. Just
yeah, no
right.
I
see the gold car is close to the ambassador.
So they didn't
have
the
office.
They decided just to close that building. Well, people go back and forth.
Why is it blocked off?
You think there's a suspicious device under the vehicle?
Oh,
okay.
And here's another one where we're taped off.
It says police line, don't cross.
Okay.
I mean, I'm assuming that's what's on the yellow.
I'm happy to have a conversation further with Tom. We're in this thing here in our last conversation, but we specifically...
I usually don't get off the ground, but I am.
I guess we'll find out if the building's seismic or not.
No. We need a change of process that Ryan is not the notification.
Well,
right.
I don't know if he's been notified.
I don't know either, but...
Not
can you send something out to department heads to stay in the building?
Stay in the building?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking
minimum.
Until
we hear something else.
Saying, what's going on out there? Yeah. And then I asked Tyler.
Yeah, when traffic stops, you guys noticed, didn't you? It's behind me.
I didn't notice it.
No, Rhiannon came down. She saved our lives.
Yeah, Rhiannon.
She may have. Let's not give her full credit yet.
Okay. There is kind of a package by that post. Do you see that?
I don't see it.
Which post?
The one right in front of the rig. Oh, that's a sandbag holding it down.
Oh, I was going to say, there's a bunch of sandbags. And there are, they're taking it down.
They're taking it down now.
Homeless people that hang out on the steps of Ann Basker every day, so.
Yeah, the cops are taking the red one down here.
Just a homeless person.
Chief, is that... Is that the chief? Yeah, it is. And Dennis. And Lang.
Well, and Lang, yeah.
How you doing, Aaron?
They cleared this tape here, but not up there yet.
Is that Todd?
Doing well.
And Lang was there.
Concerned about your council makeup.
Yeah, that is Todd, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they're taking it down now.
Okay, just ready to smile and go with it?
Okay, we'll send an email to the department.
What's that?
Just gonna smile and work with it. Just roll with the punches. Is that the keep
that
calm and carry on?
Really
the recording should be exciting for the minute taker. Nothing disparaging was said. All right. Well, back to our meeting after a bit of excitement. Tourism services. Do you guys have any timelines or delivery systems you're going to go for?
We just agreed to set up our starter board for the DMO.
Oh, good. Are you guys going to appoint?
We did.
Okay.
We're going to make it finalized next business meeting.
Yeah, finalized next business meeting.
It's a five-member...
I guess we'll stay out of that process. Can we help later?
What's that?
I said we'll stay out of that process. Yeah. Can we help later with money?
Yes.
Well, yes.
Absolutely.
And that's one idea that we can talk about right now.
One of the things that we were thinking about... It's just a concept at this point. Instead of having it just strictly the city, have it the entire county.
That's been a concept for a few months, sir, and I've been offering money. So I thought we might get in on helping appoint, but I see we're already down the tracks.
Well, we've chosen really five good people that are.
Well, great. I hope we all get along with them.
Brad Niva. Terry Hopkins.
Brad Niva. That's too bad. Go ahead.
Is there a problem with Brad Nutt?
Well, he's never been to Josephine County, but once in his life. But
well, he lives here.
He doesn't work here. Anyway, go ahead.
Terry Hopkins.
Terry Hopkins. Doug Bradley.
Doug Bradley.
That's
Bert Fush. Shannon, Sharon,
yeah, some,
and Bush, a council member.
Bushnell and a council member.
And a council member yet to be determined.
A liaison or a council member?
Council member.
Council member.
Just as the starter board. Can we attend the meetings and comment as public?
Sure.
Oh, okay, good. At least we're in the room.
Night, yeah.
So they're charged
nice
with...
To be included.
Nice to be included. With setting up the 501c6, filing all the appropriate paperwork.
Yep, and also getting the bylaws.
The bylaws. In place, and
good.
Then
and what?
And then recommending the
contractor,
out the rest of the board
to what end?
Handing out the board, and then the board will hire the director.
To what end? For, you're going to have a director for a tourism.
Our DMO.
What's
our nonprofit
that?
Destination management organization.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then our 30% that went to Experience Grants Pass will go to. This nonprofit.
Is there any plan to increase that amount?
We'd like to.
Well, they. What's their charge? Are they going to be the one that puts on Back to the 50s? That
no,
going
they're
to
not in charge of events. No, that'll be something. That'll be.
So you're going to take the money you used to give to the person that took care of those events, and now you're going to just turn it over to this group, and there. But they don't have to do anything. What is their charge? What are they going to do?
Well, the definition is. Tourists are travel 50 miles from their location and spend one night in a hotel. That's the state definition of a tourist. And
right.
So they're charged with getting people to come to our community and spend the night in hotels.
Okay, when I met with three of the local leaders, and they were just scolding us something horrible about...
You mean the same three people he just mentioned?
Might have been.
Yeah, those so same ones.
And I said... Truthfully, you can't handle any more people during the summer months, can you? Huh? I said, you can't do it. I said, because you're full. All of you are full every night from yay to yay. And what are you going to do in the middle of wintertime? We don't have a ski lodge. We don't have whitewater rafting. We don't have anything in the middle of wintertime to pack our motels for. So what are you going to do about that? But for right now, if we put everything in place, you can't handle the traffic. True or false?
Well, yeah.
And I said, and so we want, when we want to do, and this was talking about a certain proposal that we were kicking around, and we want to move 300,000 or 350,000 of that, of those generated revenues to the fairgrounds to promote an event center. If you made that big enough, if you take the fairgrounds master plan, if that works, you're going to have three or four more new motels on that side of the river, where you have, your motel industry has none and no interest to put one over there. Why don't you put one over there? Because there's nothing over there to attract the people. So if we're trying to attract the people, chicken and the egg type thing, we get a need for you. We create the marketplace for you through a major event facility, and then your people can start building motels. But right now, you couldn't. If we gave you all the money in the world and you advertise for more people to come here in the summertime, you're booked. True or false? Anyway, for the most part, yes. So there is our problem. And John Bowen has said this for years. We don't have enough room, enough rooms. And when you say, how did you grow Grants Pass's tourism budget? And just like you said, one night over more than 50 miles, so on and so forth. You're full, you're full. If you're full, you're full. So he could never show where he was doing any better at his job because he was already at capacity. That's the problem. And I don't know whether they're pouring more money at this particular thing. What are they going to do? Are they going to be able to fill those motel rooms during the wintertime? And if so, how are they going to do that? I'd be interested.
Well, that's what they're charged with doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to be finding out.
Yep.
And you're going to give them what? 300,000?
It's a little more than that.
380.
Well, no, the travel and tourism is it just the dollars, the 30% of our lodging taxes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 30%. And so yeah. It's a little over 300,000.
A little over $300,000. And what's going to be their benchmark?
We are developing benchmarks and guidelines.
Yeah. Okay, because I want to say, how do we document results? If I'm going to dump $300,000 into somebody's business,
based on data.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see how that works out.
And it's overnight stays.
Timeline? Yeah, overnight stays. You ask them if they can increase overnight stays. It's only in the wintertime that they will be able to bump that up. And I don't know how they're going to do that. Many people have tried. Many people have failed.
And they'll try. They'll try and hit those shoulder seasons. We'll be sure to put us on the press release list so we know what's going on in that committee. And we'll talk about whether we have some money for funding or not. I don't know. You guys haven't approached us about budget with them, and we were willing. But hopefully we'll get back in the conversation on that.
That's great. And if you are, then, we could. If the county's wanting to also be an active participant, which is as a board hearing this now is excellent, I believe we could modify and have a commissioner seat also on that starter board if we knew the county was wanting to be an active participant.
Right, which... We talked about it in the Tourism Committee and the CEDC Committee for about 6 months. So we've been interested. We've shown our interest there. We just don't come to the council meetings and say it. So your liaisons have to bring that back. And I don't know if they are. I guess we'll see. But yeah, we would like to be involved. We know it's not just Grants Pass. We know the last contractor was starved out of effectiveness by the city's budget. And so we want to make this one successful. We don't want another 3 years and done or 5 years and done out of this next contractor.
Along that line, what are your plans, because it's inside the city limits, what are your plans for Back to the 50s, Art Along the Rogue, and all the other festivities, the wine stroll and everything else that used to be all done, that, by the way, brought people here? Back to the 50s filled every motel room that you had for almost a whole week. And if you don't have it, it's gone.
So I'd like to address that, but before I do, I want to conclude with the conversation we were just having, if I could. If, Council President and Mayor, you are interested in, I mean, ultimately a countywide thing would be good. If we're interested in, and the county is showing a desire to be an active participant, then we could, you could have that discussion and make that recommendation change if you wanted to actually
Could you make it a 7-person board instead of a 5-person board?
Well, it'd be a 6.
It'd be 6.
6?
Yeah. Right,
but that's just a starter.
Our board's still going to grow.
Yeah.
And getting them on board now.
Yeah, so in these initial discussions when DMO Pros gave their recommendations to council, one of the things I said that it would be great is if we had participation from the county, because a lot of the recreation resource or tourism resources are in the county. So I've been in favor of having the county in this from the beginning.
Right, realizing, of course, we don't have the same funding stream you do yet. So
but we're hoping that, that we can...
It may help. It may help in that, regard.
Absolutely, it may help push that transient lodging tax.
If the two were together, mm-hmm.
we have to be together.
But we have maybe $100,000 we can get in the game.
And going to so vote.
We'd like to, they're talking about a tourism recovery district, and so that's cool. But I'd like to see us potentially just get a countywide. Maybe 2% that touches everybody, not just the city. And then we could put that towards the DMO as well. And then they have a nice pot of money to work with, like Bend
and like a real
DMO.
Here again, I'm not interested. And they said, I said, so what do you want? And they said, we want it all to go to Travel Oregon or whatever.
Well, that's not going to happen.
And right. I said, for what? So that you can advertise for more people to tell them to turn them away at the end and send them to Roseburg because we don't have any rooms open? I said, that's what I'm after. I would like to see, I'm going to be selfish here as liaison of the fairground. I want about $350,000 to $400,000 of if the lodging tax were to go through countywide. City and county, both 2%, 3%, whatever it is.
I would
like to have about $350,000 to $400,000 go towards Josephine County Fairgrounds for debt service for capital projects.
Which would be half of it, yeah.
What's that? Yeah.
Which would be half of 1% or quarter of 2%.
Yeah. So there you go. That's exactly what I want. So when you say, okay, no, we're going to give it all. We're going to do this because we're in together. We're going to give it all to this group. No.
Well, and I'm on board with that because the regional tourist promotion folks are mostly useless in Southern Oregon. They don't get the funding. They don't do the work. We don't get the benefit. Our local contractor took us way past whatever they were doing and took it from $900,000 a year to $1.7 million a year in just a short 5 years. And so I think we can do it better by ourselves and not give our money to a state agency. So... I'm on board with you. We don't even hear about those agencies until they want to talk funding, because we live next to Jackson County and they take the lion's share. Yep. And I don't like being yoked with them on almost anything except for disaster relief and help. on the other side, I'm not a big fan.
Yep.
And so we do only have one left, and it's small again. I made a small one. City-county workshop. Joint workshop. We like skipped two, then COVID hit, and we skipped two. Let's schedule one and get back on it. And the CEDC is recommending, they had a motion last week for the city and county to start meeting again to try and help push that ball a little, because they know that their committee is one of the big crossover committees and would like to give a report on what they've been up to. And so can our offices work together to get that back on schedule and maybe schedule a year's worth? So that we know when they are.
As long as there's things to be done productively, as far as I
think that's got to be the driver, not necessarily
not just to check the box, get them done.
Right. No, the chair and the mayor have to get together and help set that agenda.
I agree.
Yep. And that doesn't mean the Monday before Tuesday. We need to work on that specifically and deliberately to make sure those meetings are meaningful.
I'm open to the idea.
Yep. And I don't think they were a waste of time before, but we did have the CEDC was not feeling their full effectiveness, and we had to get them kind of back on to what the agencies were asking them to do. to refocus. And so, but I think they would certainly be productive in the future, considering our emergency management crossovers.
I'm happy to work with you on that.
Okay, let's do it. All right, that was the last one.
Nice to see you all.
5 minutes early. Anything else we missed?
Go to the order.
We covered a lot of additional subject matters.
Right at the end?
Yeah.
That gets on the end of every agenda. So we always have a chance to go, what did we miss?
I just want to say thank you, guys. It's been an honor to serve with you these last few years.
Yeah.
Yep. And I wish you the best of luck now that you are
stepping
aside from the public
eye. Not stepping aside for... he may be changing chairs and whatnot, but I have my eyes on him to keep him busy.
Well, there might be an opening in the Parks Committee, I heard. I don't know.
Glad you maintain your sense of humor, sir. shoot, that's great.
Nice to be loved.
It is. Part of putting yourself out there means that some people are going to disagree with you.
Certainly, it's all felt it. That's for sure.
Yes, we have.
Well, I just feel very grateful that I was endorsed by the Daily Courier.
Yeah.
Kind of with a couple side notes on it.
Right.
You can sure tell which one Scott wrote, you know. But we think DeYoung's okay. But you ought to see what else he did.
Nothing like a backhanded
endorsement. I personally thought the Courier's endorsement
was lovely. I thought they did a pretty good job, to be honest with you.
In my case, they didn't say a darn thing.
I thought it was well done. I was a little surprised.
I almost got tears in my eyes. I thought it was so good.
Yeah, I am too. After all these years, after DeYoung pleads guilty to child abuse.
Right.
Because that was kind of pointed in my direction.
Oh, golly.
There's just been an awful lot of negative, and,
there has.
and it just turned out that this one happened. I think it was just that you run out of, finally been there long enough, you run out of choices. So, I don't know.
And I'll tell you, as the one in this room that wasn't up for election, I thought it'd be easy to watch all this go on and just sit at home. It has not been easy.
Nerve-wracking.
The stress level is still there.
My wife's the one that I feel sorry for, because she, you know,
she takes it very personally.
We handle it. We take it in stride.
We've been yelled at for a while.
Kicked in the teeth a couple of times. You know,
my wife is the same way.
Water off a duck back.
She's always crushing.
The spouse really takes the heat.
Takes
boy,
it
my wife just gets livid. Yeah. And I said, hey, calm down.
You need to give
your mask
on. You know, you can just flip a coin here. You're the most
the target, right? Most recent target
recipient, but
and apparently I'm just an electrician. I didn't know I wasn't a small business owner.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
A local community involvement for 12 years.
Right.
Yeah, we're taking our advice from an electrician.
Yeah, your medical advice from an electrician. You know, but I've been to some doctors that couldn't wire a house. Derek can change a Band-Aid.
We all have
your line. No plugs.
I've met some commissioners that couldn't fly an airplane either.
Well, and I've been hiding that article from my wife, so please don't let that leave this room. Oh, darn, we're on record.
You know, but it's gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be over in a week, and we'll just move on. Myself,
at least local.
I have put myself beyond November 3rd. Weeks ago, I was trying to figure out whether I was going to have two scoops of mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving, and do I want cranberry sauce, or am I going to save that for apple pie? I only get so much sugar content, so I got to be careful here. But I'm beyond that. I'm beyond next week, so I'm very relaxed and calm, and I think it, you know, it's pretty well cast in stone. I had an irresistible urge at the thing the other night, you know, down at Tap Rock where we did the forum.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to just say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody in this room that isn't sure of who they're going to vote for mayor and commissioner?
Right.
And they would have gone, show of hands? And there would have been none.
Yeah.
Because why? Everybody in the room was for somebody
or
of the
other,
or against.
Of the four polls.
Y'all could have just gone home.
I didn't, we could have just gone home. And I noticed that observation when Don Myrick ran in your race, and here was all the seats at the forum in Van Basker, and Don Myrick didn't show up. But he had called me earlier in the day, and he said, and he stutters real bad.
Yeah.
Do you think, and I said, do I think you should show up? And he said, yeah. And I said, you know, to be quite honest with you, Don, there isn't any votes to be had in that room. If you don't show up, it won't make any difference. He didn't show up, and everybody, wow, that's political suicide. He finished third. He had 6 yard signs and finished third.
16%, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Well, if I get a time machine, I'm going back and stopping this meeting 4 minutes ago. But I'm going to go ahead and stop it now if everybody agrees.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's stop it now at 12 o'clock.